All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, May 25th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Big Game Davis.
That's what they call him. DFSR.com is the site. DFSR.com/MLB is the place to go for a free 3-day trial to our projection system. You know the whole spiel at this point. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, MLB. Hopefully we have some PGA coming soon that we made some progress on yesterday. Football when it comes around, NBA, as we still roll through some of these two-game slates with my Rockets so close. Chris Paul, please come back. It's all set to go under one subscription package. We don't section it off by provider or by site or who wrote the articles or whatever. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You're all good to go. Buddy, we're heading into a holiday weekend here. We got a big Friday of baseball. We can finally get some games going back in Coors. Should be an interesting weekend. Then we got this is early, but then Monday has a full slate of games too. So if you're a baseball fan, this is Memorial Day usually works out to be pretty good because you just get games all through the weekend and then during the day on the holiday when most people are off. But we'll talk about Friday here. Anyway, we have a game in Coors. The schedule's worked out pretty funny this year. They probably purposely did it because of weather in Colorado. But there's been only 18 home games for the Rockies so far this year. They play 32 on the road, only 18 at home. And I thought about this the other day and thought, man, it's just been like a while since it feels like they played almost no Coors games. And the numbers do support that, but we're back here today. So we'll talk a little bit about what we do with some of these guys' salaries on both sites and how we maybe work it in with some of the pitching. But we do have some guys that we can talk about that are taking the mound. Where do we start here with cash games for pitcher? There are some ace-level arms for sure. Going here, some of them are very expensive. Some of the top guys are very expensive. Where do we want to start? Where do we want to prioritize here? Pitching, cores, both. I mean, how do you kind of see the slate breaking down?
Yeah, that's a tricky bit, right? Because I mean, FanDuel and DraftKings are always going to be different animals in this regard. But right now, the system is trying to play cores guys in both lineups, and that's going to mean making some concessions elsewhere. On DraftKings, it looks like making some concessions at pitching. Right now, it's showing Noah Syndergaard and Ross Stripling as the two pitchers there. So, conspicuously not showing Scherzer. It's funny, though, because if you do play Scherzer, you actually can get Coors guys, but then you wind up just with, guys who bat eighth and stuff alongside them. So I suspect that ultimately we might land on the Syndergaard-Stripling lineup, but, who knows? A lot changes throughout the day. Right now, the big question is, do you go Syndergaard and get some more options to pay up, or do you go Scherzer and take increased safety on arguably the best pitcher, or certainly the best fantasy pitcher in baseball this season, and go from there? So I don't know if you have a gut feeling there. Obviously, Scherzer is just next level, otherworldly stuff right now with the 14 plus Ks per nine, improving upon, like last week we were talking, or his last start, we were talking and he was at 13.56, I remember pretty clearly, and we were like, he can't possibly sustain this over the course of the season, and just continues to move that goalpost even further. So obviously Syndergaard is merely excellent at 10.4 Ks per nine and two walks per nine. I think we even made this decision between the two of these guys last time just because of the way pitchers' schedules tend to sync up. But I mean, what do you think? Is Scherzer worth 3,500 more than Syndergaard on DraftKings right now?
Syndergaard feels mispriced to me on DraftKings, honestly, at 10.5. I don't like this kind of happened.
You figure like 12 normally, right?
That's what I mean. It's kind of happened with DeGrom too. I don't think it's strictly a Mets thing, but I'm just kind of trying to remember the last time that I saw kind of an ace level ish guy priced in the low to mid 10,000s on DraftKings, and it just happened recently with DeGrom too. Now, it's a testament to Scherzer, how good Scherzer is, that it's kind of still on a points per dollar basis, we have them pretty much tied even with the price difference, and that's really Scherzer just gets the best of all worlds here. He's a huge favorite. Miami stinks, he's great, so it's one of those cases where 14,000, you need every factor to line up perfectly to even consider a guy in this price tier. And Scherzer just does have all those things line up. He even gets Miami in Miami, which makes a little bit of a difference. All this stuff just makes little bits of a difference. It's very close between him and Syndergaard on DraftKings. I think it's going to end up where we want to go with the offense. I mean, right now, like you said, and you mentioned Stripling, we'll talk about him in a second, but the difference between the Syndergaard lineup and the Scherzer lineup is really like one guy difference. It's like one, maybe two guys different. Like most of the other things, and it keeps the Coors bats and just moves around, a Hanley Ramirez to Victor Martinez and then one other thing. Like, go off of one.
Well, sure, but you can change one guy, but $3,500 worth of players is a lot, right? Like that level of downgrades is basically like playing one fewer position player. And so the real question is that worth the price of admission? And that's where I'm just not totally sure. Because right now we have Scherzer at 6.5 fantasy points more than Syndergaard for that extra 3,500. And that's not that great a deal normally, right? Like we have several guys who are going to bring better points per dollar multipliers. Now, obviously, like there's going to be some consolidation effect. You know, if you can put more points into one guy, that tends to be better, especially when it's a pitcher and the points come with a higher floor typically. But yeah, I mean, it's at least close in my mind right now. That is a pretty steep difference just based on, like you said, Syndergaard's mispriced position right
to now. Me, it's not close on FanDuel, where I think you just pay the 12 for Scherzer and just find a cheap, you know, sacrifice maybe a bat in one spot, basically. And
well, yeah, I mean, if Syndergaard's mispriced on DraftKings, Scherzer's mispriced on FanDuel, right? 12,000, yeah. That's a comically low price. I mean, he has better numbers so far than peak Kershaw, and people were paying 14 for him. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I think I'm always going to take the standard deviation on pitchers is just lower for hitters. That's an obvious thing that I don't think most people need to be explained. So whenever you are looking for safety, it's better to buy your safety at the top of the pitching chain and just go for the variance through the rest of the guys, because the standard deviation is like something like half, or maybe even more than like 60% less or something like that from the best pitchers to the best hitters, just because of the nature of how they score points. I'm always going to want to just pay for pitching, especially in a guy like Scherzer. It's funny though, because the Coors game has so many runs in it that there is a scenario where our system is pivoting a little bit here to Ross Stripling. Like we kind of made mention of him to start. Stripling at 7,200 on DraftKings. He's 6,700 on FanDuel for a guy. This is funny about how this works out sometimes with these Dodgers guys. They come up, because they do some relief performances, or maybe they're coming out of the minors, they've all just kind of trended lower on the salary scale. And I think it's probably just because of the way the Dodgers are handling their pitching staff this year, which is to say they're just moving guys between the bullpen and starting positions and kind of doing it somewhat fluidly with different guys. Do you see him as, one, is there a case to even pivot down to him on FanDuel within a pretty good matchup with a nice run line? And then do you see him just as a clear-cut starting pitcher too at only 7,200 on DraftKings?
I think he's the clear-cut starting pitcher too. They've stretched him out now. I mean, there was reason to be concerned, I think, going into the last start against Washington. The prior start, he had went 5 innings. He was very effective, but threw the 79 pitches. This time, the Dodgers stretched him out. He went the full 6 innings, 96 pitches. If he's going to be in that 96 to 100 pitch range, this price is just too low. I mean, on a per-inning basis, now granted, some of this is going to be colored by relief performances, but, let's just take the last three starts. 4 innings, 5 Ks, great. 5 innings, 7 Ks, 6 innings, 9 Ks. The guy's a legit pitcher. We're still getting a too cheap price based on basically the innings pitched prior to this, and I don't know. It sure seems like a very easy one. And it'd be another thing, too, if there was any concerns at all about the matchup, but come on. I mean, he's got the Padres. It's not in San Diego, but now you're just looking to give Torsen the math, I think. I think it's just a terrific spot. I don't think there's a lot of... I think you give up too much to try to go Syndergaard and Scherzer if Stripling's just sitting there with one of the best possible matchups overall.
Yeah, Stripling feels pretty easy on starting pitcher two on DraftKings. I'm not really concerned. I do not want to allocate all the salary. You can do that as a tournament pivot, I think, just because I think very few people will do it. And so on the chance that you get, you know, these complete games out of these two guys, which is really what you're kind of looking for at that point in terms of a tournament action, that you would kind of need just, I don't know, top 1% performances for both Syndergaard and Scherzer. But then you can make that case for really any pitcher when it comes to tournaments. I think you do sacrifice just so much in the form of bats, unless you're just going...
Well, you would, but the thing is, you can just fade the Coors game, too.
Correct, that's good.
Yeah, it has a huge total right now, but sometimes it just doesn't work out, right? Like, that game could end 2-1 with most of the runs coming from the bottom of the lineup. Like, just crazy stuff happens from time to time. So there is a lineup you can make. For cash games, you're going to be out on an island. And I think smart money has the Rockies particularly destroying Sal Romano tonight. So if you're going to stick your neck out that way, I think big tournaments are definitely a pretty plausible way to do that.
One interesting cash game pivot on FanDuel, who I think on a guy who I think is mispriced, is Paxton. So Paxton comes in. He's less than 10,000. For a guy, if this was any other slate, and I don't know if he's priced like this because these other guys exist, like Scherzer and Syndergaard. Severino's another, Kluber's pitching here. There's a lot of just very top arms. Now, I would say for Severino and Kluber, their matchups against the Angels and Houston, respectively, make them tough to consider playing them in cash. They both have huge upside for tournaments, obviously. Anytime you get strikeout pitchers, those guys can dial up strikeouts against anybody in the if it kind of starts rolling downhill, they are not guys that I would target in cash. But Paxton, if this was any other slate, Paxton would be the guy we'd be talking about at 9,700, and we'd be laughing at FanDuel's pricing of him, because a guy like this under 10,000, his numbers this year, he's striking out 11.3 per nine, so up a little bit from last year where he was starting to really make some where he's starting to make some K gains across the board. He's averaging more than six innings per start. The XFIP is right in line with the ERA, so there's really nothing lucky or unlucky about what's happening with him. BABIP running a little bit low. And he's just an excellent pitcher. Like, he's a guy that maybe sometimes gets forgotten. It's one of these things, I think, geographically and just like what the way your team is, it's easy to sometimes forget a guy. Seattle's just not very good. And so when you have a very good pitcher on a team that's just pretty forgettable, all the things to consider, he's a guy that maybe shows up in some late slates. Occasionally, he's a guy that shows up in cash games. But this strikes me as just such a misprice on what his level is. Could you see any case for just spending $2,300 less from Scherzer and going down to Paxton, who slots in right between Scherzer and Stripling?
No, I don't think so. And it's kind of crazy too, because I don't know what a guy has to do to get a bigger price besides throw a no-hitter three starts ago and then just throw another complete game with 8Ks the last time out. Like, just I swear to God, like, you know, I love the FanDuel guys. They've done a lot for us. We've tried to help them out as well. But I mean, really, like, I think they're just fully asleep at the wheel on some of this pricing algorithm right now. Like, they're just as bored by baseball being the only fantasy sport as a lot of people are during this time of year or something. But I simply don't get it. Yeah, the price is totally wrong. I think we'll hopefully, you know, see a better price on him going forward. I actually get concerned in general that him being low makes it a tougher decision on Scherzer, but I get concerned that with the low pricing on pitcher, it just makes the game more obvious, and I don't think that's a good look for daily fantasy baseball at all. So, I think it's going to be Scherzer tonight for cash games. It's hard to imagine going in another direction, but I wouldn't mind tighter pricing around the pitching on FanDuel, just to be honest.
All you have to do sometimes is look at different sites and look at their pricing and look at the tiers at which they price guys and decide who made the mistake, right? So on FanDuel, those Scherzer, this is in listing in terms of overall price. Scherzer, Kluber, Syndergaard, Severino, Paxton. And Paxton comes 600 less than Severino, right? In a better matchup and just really everything else lining up for him. And then on DraftKings, Paxton's just the second most expensive pitcher. So if you look at those two things, well, you say, well, who made the bigger error? And the other, and by the way, the rest of the pricing kind of lines up with the other guys I mentioned. Who made the bigger error here? It's pretty obvious that Paxton is just completely mispriced. It's a good time to play some of those late slates. It's a good time to play, you know, some of those turbo and express ones that kind of show up later in the day.
That's a great call.
He's a guy that I'll do. And he's a guy I love pivoting him for tournaments, because he will allow you some quote-unquote safety in your bats, because he just costs so much less. He's a whole other Coors bat that you can get for around the same upside as Scherzer. And I'm making...
I mean, the guy had a 16 strikeout game this season. Right. He's got the upside. Like, there's no, absolutely no doubt about it. He's got electric, like, pure 10 out of 10 upside. You know, somewhat hampered by just getting 3 wins and 10 starts, too. Like, there's reasons why the price is too low, and they're not based on whether he's a good pitcher or not.
And that makes sense, actually, too, for the FanDuel. It's the last point, and then we can move on. But, like, for the FanDuel pricing is very win-dependent, much more win-dependent than DraftKings is. You just need to get that quality start. Quality starts are not Paxton's issue. But the win, that does increase. So if he's not getting those, then maybe he is just running a few points less than some of his peers who might just be getting lucky with that ridiculous stat, which makes no sense. And there's not a ton of other. And there's so many good pitchers going today. And plus, we mentioned a cheap guy in Stripling that I don't know if it's worth mentioning some of these other guys. I take it back. I'm just rolling down this list. It is not really worth mentioning these other guys unless we're talking about who we're going to stack against.
You're not going to play Kluber against the Astros, right? Like, when you have these excellent pitchers in great matchups, you're simply just not going to run him out there. After that, like, you know, Severino, again, like, you're not going to pay more for him instead of play Paxton against the Angels, who don't strike out. Like, I don't know. There's good pitchers, but that really only hampers your ability to find good bats. It doesn't really make it tougher decision-making for the actual guys you're going to play, in my opinion.
100%. All right, let's go hit us up with a sponsor, then we'll hit some of these stacks for the offense.
Right on. Let's talk about NoHalftime.com. NoHalftime is a great place to go and play just a totally different kind of fantasy contest than the ones you're used to, because when you go there, you can just play one-on-one contests where you just only have to pick one player. So tonight's a night, like, if you have a great feeling about Syndergaard, Paxton, you can put them up against guys like Severino and probably get your challenge accepted. So you just pick a dollar amount, you issue the challenge to the world. If someone accepts it, it's game on. If not, then you get a refund on your investment. So check them out, NoHalftime.com. Use promo code DFSR for a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
All right. We talked a lot. Coors game is obviously the place that we're probably going to want to go for cash games here. Their run line is so far above anybody, any other game. It's really not even close. I think right now they're coming in at, it's always funny about these things because Coors, it's funny, but from a, you know, from a gambling perspective on these games, because clearly Coors deserves to have the most run line, the highest run line. It's just the best place to hit, and we get gifted with Sal Romano taking the mound for the Reds. And right now, right now the Rockies are coming in somewhere around 6.5 runs. I also wonder how much of this is like a pub, how much these lines get a little, just become a little publicy because they're, it's so clearly the best place to hit. And you know, does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, so when you look at this 11,
well, it makes sense to me, but it, people might not understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that everyone knows that Coors games score the most runs. Right. And so when people are looking to bet, they're going to bet the over on the Coors line, unless it's high enough to where, you know, they have to pause for a second. Right. So like they can artificially inflate the line to try to get money on both sides of it, right? So, yes, and I think that that probably is what's going on here. I mean, the thing with Sal Romano is he truly is terrible, yes. Right? Like, he's one of the very worst. I mean, he's going less than 5 innings per start, 6 Ks per 9, 4.5 walks per 9, and 1.5 home runs per 9. Like, this guy is one of the very worst pitchers in all of baseball, and that's before, like, he hasn't had the benefit of pitching in Coors yet, right? So I understand why the line is higher than usual there. He probably is worth an extra run, and normally the line there is like 10.5, right? So I wouldn't probably bet the over, but it wouldn't shock me to see it hit.
I was trying to look up real quick if I could see where, and I'm having trouble finding it. I was going to see where, like, what kind of action you need to take on, you know, if it would be like over minus 150 or something like that, because then you know that it's actually this. They're suspecting that it's actually under this, but this is right around the number that we're going to draw the most money in on the bets. So right, so like even over under, sure. Even over unders themselves are not all created equally, right? So like if you say, and just like, I don't need to give a whole primer on this, if it's over under 11 but the over is minus 140 or something like that, you're not getting even odds, you're getting better odds on taking the under, and they're just trying to entice action. So even over unders are not, and we try to evaluate this, but over unders are all not created equally either way.
Actually, this line has even come down since we started the podcast. I correct myself there, it's down to 11. So I think your instinct and my instinct on that was already right. Like, people are already you know, correcting for the smart money is coming in on the other side, would be my suspicion.
Even at 11, they have the highest over under of the day, not even close, right? So, like, yeah. They're still north of 6, little south of 6.5 runs. So, you're going to try to get as many of these guys as possible into lineups. A couple guys that are probably mispriced from the lineup that we don't know what it's going to be, but if David Dahl hits second, 3,200 on FanDuel is a joke of a price. You're not worried about that. Para could move up into that spot, but even if he's like hitting fifth at 3,200, I think you're fine with it. Gets a little weirder getting Blackman is very expensive, so it's gonna, if you're gonna try to fitting Scherzer and Blackman, he was like one of the guys that you need to pivot away from on DraftKings, at least if you were gonna go a little bit of expensive. And then obviously Arenado on the worst side of his split, but still in just too many runs being put up on the board here to want to completely fade him, even knowing that he's better against lefty. So all this being said, Colorado is the clear cash game stack. You're going to try to fit as many of these guys as possible. What do you think about going the other direction? I mean, right now, Cincinnati only 4.5 runs against John Gray. Gray's has, you know, pedigree here. He's a good pitcher. They are still playing in Coors, and we have seen him get blown up here, especially when you live high in the zone with a fastball. Gray is a guy that can get into trouble. When you see that 4.5 runs for the Cincinnati side, does that strike you as low, or do you think that they're doing a good job evaluating what kind of talent John Gray is?
Yeah, it seems fine. I think that you don't need to prioritize Cincinnati here. Gray, yeah, like you can say he's a fine pitcher, but he's pitching in a terrible environment for pitchers, but he's kind of made it work by and large since he came up with the Rockies. So I don't think it's a need to prioritize the Cincinnati guys. I really think the Rockies here are the story with both the great park and the terrific matchup with Romano.
Gray right now, 5-1 K to walk ratio. He's got an xFIP of under 3. Now, again, remember, they've played so many of their games. He's pitched, I think, only 2 games in Coors this year. So this ERA and the xFIP all together, even the strikeout is going to probably come down. The other rates, that some of those other stats are going to come up as he pitches more home games. Just really almost can't work any other way. And yet he's just still is a very good pitcher. Like, you don't need to target against very good pitchers, even when it's Coors, because based on how much the Cincinnati Reds guys just increased in salary by just stepping into getting off of the plane in Denver, that alone is probably worth it to not really target here. And we'll kind of look at the rest of the weekend, and I'm sure that will change for Saturday and Sunday. As although I gotta say that the Rockies pitchers have not been bad this year, so it's gonna be interesting to see. This is one of those tough ones to evaluate because they've pitched so many games away from home. If we're gonna pivot away from the Rockies, or we need to slot in some other teams, to kind of round out our salaries. Is there another team that's striking you as in a good stacking position for either cash or for GPP?
Yeah, I mean, I like both sides of the Kansas City-Texas game right now. It's another game with one of the highest totals on the slate, and you just have two burners in Skoglund and Miner. Skoglund in particular. Well, I don't know, actually. I'll get your take on this. I mean, Skoglund is kind of just generically bad, like, you know, sub-7 Ks per nine. You know, not too many walks, but just gives up a ton of fly balls. A lot of those fly balls turn into home runs. Gives up a ton of hard contact. I mean, last year he managed to have a 431 BABIP in the 18 innings he spent in the majors, mostly off of a really high hard contact rate. And he's a guy who kind of profiled in the minors as just a dude. You know, like in 2016, he had these same peripherals, but in double A ball, right? So he's not really someone that's expected to do a whole heck of a lot other than hopefully eat innings and, you know, just take up some time while the Royals try to figure out how to find some good pitchers. So, you know, Skoglund's just kind of bad. Miner's kind of funny, though, to me. So Miner, you know, last year was a guy that we really targeted a lot. He got some Ks, but he was always coming – or I'm sorry, not last year. I'm talking 2 years ago now. The last time he was an actual starter, we would go after him a lot. Last year he comes back and pitches out of the bullpen, has really high K numbers just like you'd expect out of a guy who was a big pitching prospect who's converted to the bullpen. This year back in the starting lineup – but is giving up 5.5 runs per nine innings, right? The peripherals aren't terrible at 8.5 Ks per nine, 2 walks per nine. Still struggling with a lot of hard contact, still struggling with the home run ball. Do we want to stack the Royals against Miner here? I mean, they do have some nice right-handed bats that we could slot in here and there, but which is the real Miner, I guess, is my major question. Is he going to be, like, is he going to round out as a 3.8 ERA guy with these pretty good peripherals, or are we just going to see him kind of go back the way he had been prior to that?
Yeah, I think that he is probably going to slot somewhere in between. I think like 8.5 Ks where he is right now strikes me as probably the correct number. I do not think he's all that good. He's probably just profiling now as an average pitcher as opposed to like below average when he was sort of struggling. He's changed his repertoire a little bit. He's throwing the fastball way less than he ever has in his whole career. I don't know if it's something that he just picked up on when he was coming strictly out of the bullpen, because that's kind of where it started. Right. But he was like a 50 to 59% fastball guy up to 2013, 2014, and now down to 44%. And he's also started throwing the curveball a little bit more and the changeup way more than he ever has. So whenever I see guys change their profile a little bit, they may have found something that allows them to just not get rocked in a way that maybe was happening for in the past. Sometimes maybe the bullpen worked out. I'm with you that stacking this game. I definitely want the Ranger side of it more. It's gonna be very hot in Texas tonight, which is good for hitting. 94 degrees, it looks like. No real humidity, but humidity helps power. But just the overall hot weather does help offenses in general, and we're gonna see more of that as we get into the summer. I like the Texas side. The Shields hitting leadoff is in a good spot. They have a lot of lefty bats, so it's a little bit weird without Beltre. They're not getting as much on the platoon side as you would like. Like even the bottom of their lineup, like Gallo, Odor, are just lefties that are Mazzara. They have almost too many lefties for me to get fully on board with stacking them in cash.
I like Profar. I mean,
unless you move Rua. If you move Ryan Rua up to the top of the lineup, like if they for some reason wanted to give him some platoon split opportunity against the lefty, I think that's fine. He's coming very cheap. I'm with you, though, that all things considered, that is a pretty good place to start. I don't mind the Rays here. I hate the park just because Tampa Bay is probably the worst hitters park in the league, and if not worse.
Well, certainly underrated. I think most people don't have the correct impression of the Rays park, but yes, it's a lot worse than most people realize.
But they get one of the worst pitchers on the whole slate. So one of the sneaky problems with the slate is that there are kind of just a lot of decent pitchers going. So, you know, we mentioned all the top arms going that we weren't necessarily willing to consider for cash game purposes, but we also definitely don't want to stack against Kluber and even like Patrick Corbin. We didn't mention him. There are some very good arms going. Dallas Keuchel, Sean Manaea, just guys that, I don't know, on a big slate feels weird. Yeah. You can run pretty bad with your offense by stacking against some of these guys. So they're actually, Well, I think the pitching options for who I want to play are pretty cut and dry. It does get a little weird about who to stack against because there just aren't a ton of terrible pitchers. David Hess, though, is one of those guys. So he's going to face the Rays today. He's striking out less than 6 guys per nine. That's only 10 innings. But his numbers in the minors don't strike you as a guy who has any real big strikeout stuff, because if you're not striking guys out in double A or single A, it's not going to all of a sudden translate where you're just striking a ton of guys out in the majors. So while the sample size is very small on him, I'm not concerned that we're seeing some bad luck. Now, the problem with the Rays is their offense isn't really anything to write home about. They are going to get Wendell back, I believe, today. And they have a couple lefty bats in here. I'm more just looking at ways to round out the price. Like Span's less than 4,000 here on DraftKings. Like I said, Wendell is at 3K on DraftKings. Brad Miller, 3,200. You're getting very, very cheap prices on the Rays. And sometimes that's all you need is just a bad pitcher with some cheap guys, and that's a way to round it out. So I don't mind them for some salary relief. Who else are we looking at before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's actually a couple different games you can take a look at that, you know, are kind of just like fine. Like both sides of the Blue Jays. Phillies game seems decent to me. Caviglio has crazy peripherals so far this season, but that's largely a function of his work out of the bullpen. You've got guys like John Gant going today, you know, another converted reliever who's yet to light the world on fire. Targeting him doesn't seem so bad. Both sides of the White Sox-Tigers game, you know, you got Ronaldo Lopez versus Mike Fiers. Both of those guys can give up the long ball. Currently, that game's basically a pick 'em with a 9 total. So, you know, plenty of runs to pass around for teams that are relatively cheap right now. I actually think you are going to find a decent amount of ability to kind of fill in around the edges, assuming that you can get a few Coors bats in there. I think you'll be able to get home with some pretty solid lineups too.
Yeah, I think the thing that's interesting that's happening today is like, and the reason, again, the Coors game stands out so much, even more than your typical Coors game, I think, is because for all the other teams, I can make almost as many cases against them. So I'll go through a couple of high run lines games where I'm not so trustful that I want to play these guys in like cash, right? So the Yankees have a high run line. They're also very expensive. They're over five. They're somewhere around 5.25 projected runs. But they get Andrew Heaney, who has had some blow up games, but he's also just not bad, right? So it doesn't feel like the right spot to buy on the Yankees. Same Red Sox, sort of in the same situation, right? Like they're projected for one of the highest run lines of the day, and they get Julio Teheran. Now Teheran has some blow up potential in him, and he's also just not a complete and utter bum.
Well, right? And again, so you're not going to be able to go Scherzer plus the Coors bats plus all the other expensive teams in good matchups, right?
Why not? That's what kind of
hashtag rip fan mode on my old buddies at DraftPot, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I don't think you can do that tonight.
All right. So anyway, so I think that's where, and then the teams with good matchups that I would say that the pitchers are bad are just not the best offenses in the world. Fair. Like I mentioned with Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay is just not a very good offense in general. Like you get the Mets against Junior Guerra. Like Junior Guerra, he's been okay this season. I think that he's shown at times where he was just like a super old prospect that came up. It's kind of tough to gauge guys like this about where they're going to land. But then you get the Mets lineup that's just, I mean, just bad. Actually, one guy that I do find interesting, his price has come up a little bit. Brandon Nimmo has about 1,000 OPS this year in 110 plate appearances. And I think he actually, saw someone tweet that actually leads the league in on-base percentage right now. Yeah, he must. If he's a 450 on-base percentage right now in the season. So he's a nice leadoff hitter. It depends if you want to. And he's actually a guy that's walked a lot in the minors too. So it's probably translatable going forward. But then the rest of that lineup is so bad that it's just like hard to really get too excited about it because they have basically three automatic outs at the bottom of the lineup. So I think we're just in a weird spot with the bad pitchers face also bad offenses, and I think that's just even more incentive to play this Rockies game. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, not really. I think you kind of touched on a lot of it pretty well. I will say that, you know, you just got to be careful going into slates like this. It really is hard sometimes when you have a decent number of good spots to prioritize. So keep an eye on these run lines, see how the things are moving around. Definitely be in the chat tonight leading up to lock at around 7:00 Eastern. I'll be in there trying to break it all down. Cause right now, yeah, we're heavily prioritizing Scherzer, you know, Coors. Actually, Texas is another team that we're heavily prioritizing. A lot of this could change with not very much movement. So I definitely think you want to be in there as always leading up to lock to try and figure out how to make the best lineups. But yeah, hope to see you guys in there.
TFSR.com/MLB will get you that free 3-day trial. Buddy, enjoy your holiday weekend. We'll be here all weekend setting baseball lineups. Go jump in that chat. Be talking baseball Monday as well for the holiday. We know when you're off work and you're enjoying the holiday, we're still working to make sure you have a good experience. TFSR.com/MLB will get you started. Buddy, enjoy the holiday weekend.
You too, man.